Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26. We're going to read just two verses there, starting at verse number 27. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Acts chapter 26, starting at verse number 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'll touch all the scriptures, all the words that you've laid on our heart this morning. We ask that you'll open up our hearts, open up our minds and our ears to be able to receive with meekness your engrafted word. Help me, Lord, this your servant, to bring forth your word exactly how you would have it to be brought forth this morning. And we'll always give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, for it's in your holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on the thought, moved for the moment. Moved for the moment. I like the way that Paul addresses King Agrippa here. Paul always had spunk. Paul was not afraid to engage. Paid the price for it a few times, Brother James, but he was not afraid to engage, Brother Mark. Eye to eye, nose to nose. I heard one preacher one time say he believed that Paul found him a stump and set it down in front of Peter and climbed up on the stump and pointed his finger at Peter and rebuked him. I don't know how he did it. He was a short guy, kind of like me. And he was bald from what I understand. I guess I'm getting there if you look at the back. But anyway, he was very candid at times, Brother Gene, with his word. And so as he's addressing King Agrippa here, I like the way he asks this question. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Now, if he was to put that in everyday American language, he would say something like this. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. And that's exactly how he said it. I didn't add anything to it. And then the most infamous words ever spoken by a king in the word of God, in my opinion, when he says back to Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, leading up to this, the Apostle Paul was accused of antimonianism. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of that term before, but antimonianism is a doctrine, a belief that since we're living in the age of grace, Brother Mark, and that we're under the age of grace, there's no longer a need for the law. It's been abolished. It's useless. It doesn't apply because, after all, by faith we're saved alone, by faith alone. Well, we know that's not true because the memory verse that we just read said what? Faith without what? Works is dead. You can't have faith alone. Okay? You can't just say, I believe in Jesus Christ, then hang him on a coat rack and go about your merry way. Faith without works is dead. And so antimonianism was what they were accusing the Apostle Paul of spreading, and he wasn't spreading that, and he refuted it. Now, you got to understand, and Paul started out as he was addressing King Agrippa here. Felix was there. Festus was there. Some of the other high-ranking officials of the Pharisees were there. And he just straightforward, as King Agrippa gave him latitude, he said, okay, Paul, you've got the floor, so to speak. Paul let him have it. And he started from the very beginning. He said, you know, King Agrippa, how that I used to be one of the highest-ranking Pharisees before my conversion. He said, in fact, I would go about thinking I was doing the works of the Lord, and I would take families and I would separate them. Sister Jenny, he said, I would pull children away from mamas. And he said, I would, basically what he would do back then, it was a makeshift concentration camp, if you will. He would put these Christians in these cells and these jails, and it wasn't enough that he would put them there, but he actually told King Agrippa, he said, I would torture some of them. because they were believing in this Jesus rather than our doctrine. Does that sound familiar? And so he was persecuting him, and he went through the whole spiel with him, and he started to go into the account, and he says, then here I was thinking I was doing the work of the Lord, Brother Tom, and he said, I was busy on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden, this bright light shined, and it was so bright that it blinded my eyes, and I heard a voice, and all those that were with me heard this voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He recognized that this wasn't an average ordinary voice. And he goes on to explain to King Agrippa how that Jesus spoke to him, and he said, I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. Is it not hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Now, if you don't know what a prick was, it was like a brick wall. Basically, what Jesus was saying, Paul, you're going to wear yourself out before you kick me down. It's hard to kick against the pricks. I'm the unmovable rock. Amen. And so he got Paul's attention. Paul went through the whole spiel with King Agrippa, all down through the laws and all down through the prophets. And he said, and you Jews who crucified Christ, now you're trying to blame me or accuse me rather of something I'm not even doing. Went through the whole thing. All the apostle Paul knew the law to the letter. He knew how to use it to his advantage. And that's what he was doing here. He appealed to Caesar because he knew he had done no wrong. And these Pharisees were trying to trip him up just like they did Jesus. And the only reason why they were successful with Jesus is because it was God's plan. Amen? It wasn't God's plan for Paul because Paul hadn't become Paul yet. On the road to Damascus, God had bigger fish to fry. God was not done with him. He had a whole lot more work for the apostle Paul to do. And so now we see a picture of this king. And he's taken in everything that the apostle Paul has to say as concerning the prophets, as concerning the scriptures, and his own words, Sister Wanda. And he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And he says, almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. King Agrippa was moved for the moment, but he was not moved to salvation. He was not willing to embrace the total hope that is in the gospel message, like so many today are guilty of. The word persuade in the Greek is translated pytho. Now, the easiest way to remember that word is to think of python. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean python, but a kind of word association helps you remember things. So, persuadest in the Greek is pytho. And it means to move one with words to the point of belief or believing. When I think of that, I think of Brother Gene in Target, Dayton. Those people coming in, and Brother Gene, like, would you like prayer? No, I think I'm, are you sure you don't want prayer? Because I'll pray, but no, that's okay. Are you absolutely sure? That's called persuasion. That's called persistence. When the devil tells me, Brother Archie, he's going to attack my family, I go pytho on him. I think that's what we need to do. We need to go pytho on the devil. When he speaks to us, he says, well, just roll over on Sunday morning. They're not going to miss you at Sunday school. Just take your rest. Hey, oh, devil, I'm going to go pytho on you. I'm going snake hunting. And when I find you, I'm going to cut your head off in the name of Jesus. If more people would have that attitude, we'd get a whole lot further down the road with God. Now, Paul furthers this in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 20. If you want to read with me, you can. Very, very powerful verses of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 20, he says, listen to this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, speaking of Jesus, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you, or I, or we, which were sometime alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if, ye continue in the faith. If ye continue in the faith, and we'll read the rest of that scripture in a moment, but the word continue in the Greek is translated epimeno, and it means to keep after, to stay at, to stay with, to abide, to remain, or to be persistent in an action. 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 Am I getting redundant enough this morning? To be persistent in an action. It means, like I said before, when we come to Jesus Christ, we are not just moved for the moment. We pray the sinner's prayer, get goose pimples, as they call them. I like what Kenny Shively says. I don't believe in calling them goose bumps or goose pimples. I call them glory bumps. Listen, we can't be moved for just the moment. We must be persistent. You can take any example in life, and it all compares, whether it's a job, a career, whatever you want to talk about. If you're not persistent in it, you're going to fail. And so he says, if ye continue in the what? In the faith. Now here's the key. Grounded and settled. Why are so many people like spiritual jackrabbits? They hop from this church to that church, and from that church to that church, and from that church to this church, and the one across the street, and they hop all over the place. And the reason why they're doing all that hopping, Brother Gene, is they're looking for the next moment of being moved. They're looking for the next fancy-dancy preacher who knows how to move them with his words. They're looking for the next big crab family or whatever the case might be to move them with their music. They want to be moved for the moment so they can feel good in that moment so that they can leave and go back to the slop hole that they're supposed to come out of. I'm talking about being moved for the moment. They're not grounded and they're not settled. They're carried about. The rest part of that scripture says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. To some people, the gospel is no hope at all.
That's right.
It's a fairy tale in their mind. Mom was talking earlier about Imus in the morning and his wife and whoever else was there making light. Now, I'll be the first one to say, don't waste your money on the movie Noah. I went on Facebook and gave 10 reasons not to go see it. It is an abomination scripturally. All right, but having said that, the real account in our Bible is not an abomination. And Brother Gene, there are people who discount the word of God. And when you say Jesus is coming back, they say, yeah, the Apostle Paul said the very same thing, that he was coming back soon. He is coming back soon. He is coming back soon. It's not by our counter, but by his word and by his promise. If we continue in the faith, being grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and received. Now, going back to King Agrippa. King Agrippa had two basic problems. Number one, and we just read it here in the verse, he was not grounded and he was not settled in what he had heard. He knew the scriptures. The Apostle Paul said it. King Agrippa, do you believe? I know that you do. Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do.
Amen.
Almost, Paul. Almost thou persuadest me. Why did he say that, Brother Jimmy? Obviously, there was something else in his life that was more important to him than God.
Amen.
He was moved for the moment. He felt good for the moment. He got all warm and fuzzy on the inside for a little while. We used to go to Southern Ohio Youth Camp. And we've been a couple times since when we get free time to go. But even as a child, I was always bothered by something. Brother Tom, we'd go to that youth camp, and every one of them kids would be around the altar speaking in tongues, shouting, hooping, and hollering, carrying on. And they got back to their home church, and they were quiet as a mouse. They were moved for the moment. Now, thank God some of them come out of there and become preachers, pastors, missionaries. I mean, God has called some good callings out of that youth camp. But the majority of them, just like our churches, are just moved, Brother Gene, for the moment. They're in it for the good vibrations, so to speak. So his first problem was he had no grounding. He was unsettled in his faith. Number two, his second problem was he did not have, and I want you to listen to this, enough hope. I want that to resonate with us this morning. He did not have enough hope in the words of the prophets, in the scriptures, or even in what the Apostle Paul was giving him. He did not have, Sister Sandy, enough hope. That was his twofold problem. If ye continue is the key. If you continue. If we don't continue, then we're not going to be able to stand before Jesus Christ as seen as holy. We're not going to be able to stand before Jesus Christ unreprovable, unblameable, unspottable, without blemish. It's not enough, as I said before, to pray the sinner's prayer. It's not enough to feel good for the moment. We've got to stay after this thing. We've got to be persistent in action. We've got to be persistent in our action. We've got to be persistent in our action. Yes. Moving from one church to the other is not going to help. We've got to have the Word of God hid deep in our heart, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But we've got to be persistent in the Lord. I want to talk about two groups of people, just two groups of people this morning, that were moved for the moment. And the first group of people I want to talk about is Moses and the children of Israel. And I want you to notice something here. As I was studying this, this popped out at me, Janelle, like I've never seen before. And I've been preaching for a long time. I never caught this before. We learn something new every day, Brother G. But in these first four chapters from Exodus 20 through 24, in these first four chapters, 21 through 24, God gives the laws and the instructions by the mouth of Moses to all the people. Now, he gives the Ten Commandments there in 20, but then 21 through 24, he gives all the law. Okay? I mean everything. He lays it down. Now, here's the key to it. He gets to the end and he says, now, these are the words of the Lord. Will you do it? Yep. What was their response? Four words. We will do it. Well, that was their problem. They can't do anything. We will do it. We will do it. Brother Gene, we will do it. That's a big statement to make. Yes, it is. That's a promise. God takes that serious. Then, in the next seven chapters, from Exodus chapter 25 through 21, we see God spending 40 days and 40 nights with Moses in the mountain, giving him the blueprints, if you will, and the instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant and the Tent of Meeting, or the Tabernacle. God was prepared, Brother Mike, to meet with his people because they said, we will do it. We will do it. He was prepared, Brother Gene, to meet with them in the tabernacle. So he was given Brother Moses the blueprints of how to build it. Now here's where the sad part comes in. The very next chapter, chapter 32, just 40 days ago, these very same people that were saying, we will do it, they were doing it all right. They persuaded Aaron, and by the way, they didn't have to twist his arm too hard, to build a golden calf, and they were corrupting themselves. Just 40 days ago, Brother Gene, we will do it. And 40 days later, they're saying, this Moses fella, we don't know what's become of him. We will make us a god to lead us back to Egypt, back to the slop hole, back to the beer joint. And we'll put it in modern day terms here. Back to the computer, hid away and tucked away in a corner where I can watch my filth. Back to my pack of cigarettes. Uh-oh, getting close now, aren't we? Back to my foul mouth. You fill in the blank. Back to whatever. God pulled you out of that mess. And when he pulled you out of that mess, he cleaned you up. And he said, don't go back to it, because if you do, it's the equivalent of a sow that returns to the wallowing around in the pig mire, or the dog to the vomit. How many times is it going to take for God's mercy to show mercy, to reach down and clean someone up? I'm here to tell you, there is a cutoff period. There is a time, just like in the time of Noah. They didn't bring that out very good, but I'm here to tell you the Word of God does. And it says that every one of those souls, except for the eight that were on the ark, perished. Their time ran out. They were moved for the moment. They were moved for the moment. The other group of people I want to talk about are Jesus and the Jews. In Matthew 20, chapter 28, verses 8 through 11, in all of those verses, we see, the Bible says, the whole city Brother Archie, being moved, Brother Tracy, by this new kid on the block, so to speak, as he comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the people are shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And they're throwing, now you know the story, their coats, palm leaves, whatever they can find, they're casting it away, treating him just like the king, and he is the king. Amen. But then in Mark chapter 15, verses 11 through 14, things change. Just 3 days earlier, these same people that were crying, Hosanna, 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 now are crying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. When the people saw that Jesus didn't change things the way they thought he was going to, he didn't take the scepter from the great Roman Empire and set up his kingdom, Brother Archie. They were only moved for the moment. They were easily persuaded by the Pharisees. And their chants and their cries of Hosanna changed and turned to crucify. How many Christians today are chanting that? Maybe not audibly, but in their actions. Crucify him again. Do away with this nuisance who bothers me, who threatens that thing that I love, that thing that I want to do, that I have to do, that I'm a servant to. Crucify him. Away with him. Just his presence convicts me. They were moved for the moment. They were moved for the moment. My question would be, are you going to be moved for the moment? Or will you be moved for eternity? Many folks, as I said before, they move around to find dynamic preachers until that good vibration goes away. Once that vibration, that good vibration goes away, they go and they seek out another preacher. They go and they seek out someone else, Brother Gene, that can tickle their fancy. The Bible talks about them kind of preachers. They're ear ticklers. They let the people hear what they want to hear, but they won't preach sound doctrine. I told my wife just this morning, I said, you know, I fear that a lot of people are falling out of church because they sit under pastors like myself. They can't handle the strong meat. They're all right as long as you're giving them the milk. Keep them in their comfort zone. But when you start hammering the heavy meat, it's time to get out of Dodge and find someone who don't preach it quite that hard, and they'll tell us what we want to know. We can have a shout and hold down meeting every Sunday night and not have to worry about that short, fat fella convicting me of my sin through the Word of God. Just let me get my shout on. Just let me feel good. Just let me hoop and holler. Let me speak in tongues. Let me get up and do my thing. It ain't about our thing. We can't be an effective witness in this world if we don't have the Word of God in our heart. They're moved by their feelings rather than what they know of the Word of God. Now, it's one thing to read the Word of God, and we should read it. It's another thing altogether to study it. And it's still yet another thing altogether to memorize it. They said, I don't have to memorize the Word of God. I depend on my wife. She knows the Bible backward and forward. If I need to know anything, I just go to her. I don't have to worry about memorizing the Word of God. My grandma, my grandpa, my husband, whatever. You fill in the blank. They know the words. I'm around them all the time. I don't have to. All I got to do is turn on the TV, and there's Dr. Jack Van Impe, and he can quote them almost the entire Bible by memory. Why do I got to memorize it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because, you see, and in case you haven't been paying attention on the news, we're under attack. And this government is doing everything in their power to snuff out Christianity. You can put this down as a prophecy, or you can put it down as someone out of their head. I don't care however you want to say it, but I'm going to put it out there this morning. The time will come when they're going to ban Bibles. They're already trying it. They're persecuting some of our military people. One had a scripture on the wall in his room, and somebody complained, and he had to take it down. When he come in there, actually, he didn't have to take it down. When he came in there, it had already been taken down. Some of them are being brought forth on court-martial charges because they're praying or they're talking about Jesus Christ in the military, and it's not sensitive to the Muslim belief, to the Islamic belief. Now, here's my question. You take these Christians, Sister Paula, who don't spend any time in the Word of God. Come on. They're used to depending on somebody. They're used to hiding behind somebody. What are you going to do when a modern day Saul of Tarsus comes along and separates you from grandma and grandpa and mommy and daddy and husband and wife, and you're secluded all by yourself? What are you going to do? Where are you going to draw your strength when you don't feel like shouting, when you don't feel like speaking in tongues? What are you going to do? I don't know about you, but there's one place that the word of God can be hid and nobody can find it, and I'm like King David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I can't get to heaven on my wife's coattail. She can't get to heaven on mine. I can't get to heaven on past experiences of working together in revivals with my mother, and she can't get there on mine. You can't either. The only way we're going to make it is to hide the word of God in our heart so we will be able to stand and not be moved for just a moment, but be moved for eternity. I'm talking about a movement forever. Yes. Not just a sometime movement. Yeah. Not just a little dabble, do you? Come on. You see, you can come to church and you can fool me. I'm just man. I'm not a mind reader. Sometimes God gives me discernment. Sometimes, Brother Mark, he don't. When I was 16 years old, Janelle might have been with us. I don't remember. We were in Plain City. And I hadn't been preaching very long. Brother Forster Manning had been pushing me to preach. It's probably my second or third message, and I was preaching to the youth. And I got about halfway in my message, and the Lord spoke to my mind, almost audible. It wasn't audible, but it was that clear. And he said, see that gentleman? It was on this side, just like it is here, but it was on this side, about halfway back. He said, see that gentleman and that's hair is completely gray? Yes, Lord. He said, that man has been sodomizing male children of this church downstairs, and this church is going to be split. And I thought, good Lord, that ain't God telling me that. I'm thinking I've lost my mind or something, thinking that about somebody. And Brother Gene, I dismissed it because it was rough. It was a rough word. I was afraid to speak it out. And I didn't mind the Lord. 2 weeks later, Mom got a phone call from one of the women at the church. Sister Haining, please pray. At that time, Sister Haining, please pray. Said, our church is split. Why? What's going on? One of the men in the church was found downstairs molesting the children in the church. I said, Lord, I'll never doubt you again. I'll never doubt you again. I said that to say this. You can fool some of God's people some of the time, but you can never fool God. God sees your heart. Get this. He also sees your intentions. Right. See, we can come into the house of God, Brother Tracy, and we can look the part. We can tell mommy and daddy, brother, sister, whatever, that we're doing right. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. God's always got a way of shining his spotlight. And I'm here to tell you, you can keep playing games with God, but God's not going to play back. And while you're playing your little game, he's going to pass you by. The blood was smote on the doorpost. And at the top, Moses said, shut the door so that the death angel may pass by. Are we being moved for the moment? Or are we moved for eternity? You've heard me say repeatedly in this pulpit, and I've used the analogy over and over again, two buckets. One filled with at the top with the purest of gold, and the other filled with sopping mud. And I walk up and say, Janelle, which one of these buckets do you want? I know what she's going to say. She sure don't want that mud. But people are doing that every day, Brother Gene.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. His love changed me. That old man I
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.